The gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke. And this is where Jesus is healing a man who's filled with demons. And as a way of leaving this particular man, the demons ask Christ to send him into a herd of swine, which was nearby. And then the swine went down to the lake and drowned themselves. But the man also wanted to follow Christ. But Jesus said for him to go to tell a story about what happened to him and how God was active in his life. As a side note, when I used to use this particular passage in Missouri, there's a couple of families in the congregation that had swine. And as a result, they never liked this passage whenever I used it. But we'd always have a good chuckle afterwards. And they always gave me and my family half a hog later on. So let us listen to God's holy word. Then they arrived at the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And he stepped out on land, and a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion, for many demons have entered me." They begged him not to order them out to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine were feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it to the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to see Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, and they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Holy wisdom, holy word. Well, a little boy wanted to meet God. He knew it was a long trip to where God lived, so he packed a suitcase with a bag of potato chips and a six-pack of root beer and started his journey. When he had gone about three blocks in the neighborhood, he met an old woman. She was sitting in the park just staring at some pigeons. The boy sat down next to her and opened his suitcase. He was about to drink from his root beer when he noticed that the old lady looked hungry, so he offered her some chips. She gratefully accepted it and smiled at him. Her smile was so pretty that the boy wanted to see it again, so he offered her a root beer. Again, she smiled at him. The boy was delighted, and they sat there for most of the afternoon, eating and smiling, but they never said a word. Well, as evening approached, the boy realized how tired he was and got up to leave. But before he had gone more than a few steps, he turned around, ran back to the old woman, and gave her a hug. She gave him her biggest smile ever. But when the boy opened the door to his own house a short time later, his mother was surprised by the look of joy on his face. She asked him, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" He replied, "I had lunch with God." But before his mother could respond, he added, "You know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen." Meanwhile, the old woman, also radiant with joy, returned to her home. Her son was stunned by the look of peace on her face, and he too asked, "Mother, what did you do today that made you so happy?" She replied, "I ate potato chips in the park with God." However, before her son responded, she added, "You know, he's much younger than I expected." Well, friends, too often we underestimate the power of touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around so that we can be different. And those people that touch us can make a difference in our lives. So sometime, friends, have lunch with God and remember to bring the chips. Well, this illustration can lead us to explore more fully the way we come into the presence of God. There's a definite sense that God lives in us, especially when we recognize God's call into the Almighty's glorious presence every day. We are called by God to enter into a relationship and enter into a time of togetherness. Each day we are afforded the opportunities to enter God's world, the people we meet, the places we travel to, the things we do, or the way we live are all indicators of what God blesses us with every day. Now, there are people in our world who are searching for something more in life. They're searching for meaning. They're looking for something that is different and will make a difference in their lives. Can worship be the place to find that something else to make a difference in one's life? Can those who are searching for answers to life's many questions find guidance and hope in God's word? Can those who are searching for nourishment find it in a meal that focuses on the Lord's death? Many seekers wonder why the act of worship is so important for one's life or in the days that follow. You know, when we gather for worship, we are coming into God's presence and standing before our Creator. From the call to worship, which focuses our attention on God's marvelous presence in our lives, through the ending benediction, where we are sent out into the world as Christ representatives to other people. Worship is our time for sustenance in the Lord so we can enter the new week with a sense of God's love and God's peace. And as we go into the week, let us remember to take along some potato chips to share with someone. We just never know when we are going to be in the presence of God. We never know when we're going to be in the presence of God. From a theological perspective, we enter worship to meet God as actors in a play. We are the actors, and God is the audience. God is the one who designed the stage, produced the scenes, wrote the salvation story, and gave the main actor in Jesus Christ to us all. We stand before God as the actors who live out the story of love, of peace, of justice, and hope in the world. Because God has made a difference in our lives every day. If God has made a difference, then we fully live out God's story of love and acceptance so that others can see what God has to offer. The gospel lesson for today tells us a story of a demon-possessed man who sought the presence of God through Jesus. The demons caused the man to fall down in front of Jesus and question him. Apparently, the man had been possessed for many years before, as the story tells of him being kept under guard and chains and shackles. Whenever he broke free, he lived among the dead in the tombs and in the wild. Well, Jesus freed the man from the demons forever by sending them into the swine on the hillside, who ran down the embankment to the lake, jumped in, and were drowned. The man was finally set free to live a sane and faithful life. Well, the people of the city were told about this healing, and this was an opportunity for them to come into the presence of God through Christ. But rather than coming to praise Jesus, they asked him to leave because they feared him. They feared him. Well, as Jesus prepared to leave in the boat again, the healed man sought him out and wanted to go with him. However, Jesus had another task for him. He said, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Well, this man came to Jesus for healing and then was sent to proclaim the Lord and how the Lord made a difference in his life, and he was to share that with all the people in that city in the countryside. Well, then the man shared his life-changing event with others and invited them to experience the great physician as well. You know, we too can share with others what God has done in our lives through constant care, comfort, compassion, and love. We can tell people how God has made a difference in our lives because God leads us into the world to share the good news and to live loving lives. Sometimes, though, we have to go through situations where we must listen to God. And as the story of Elijah tells, he feared for his life and he fled into the countryside to get away from Jezebel because she had a directive to rid the nation of prophets who were not of her liking and did not go along with her thinking. So the fear drove him into the wilderness, and it was there that an angel commanded Elijah to go to the Mount Horeb so God could speak to him, such as this cave here. Elijah spent a night in a cave on Mount Horeb with all his fears and doubts, and in the morning he was commanded to go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by, kind of like a theophany. But before he went out, there were great environmental events that caused him to pause and wonder if God was there among them. For scripture says there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in places before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. Where was God? Eventually, the sound of the silence brought Elijah out to the cave as he stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" The still small voice of God commanded him to go back to Damascus to proclaim the goodness and salvation of God so that other people could feel God's presence in their lives, even at the risk of his own. Well, friends, we too listen to the still small voice in times of uncertainty and fear, as well as in times of confidence and joy. We just need to seek the presence of God, and sometimes just to be still and listen. Well, the psalmist wrote in Psalms 46:9-10, God makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. When we intentionally search for God in life, we come before the Creator God through everyday events, people, and in the teachings of Holy Scripture. The acknowledgement of God in our lives gives us the courage to stand up for God in the world and to stand up for what is right and is good and is just. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may we come into the presence of God and stand firm in our faith and not waver. This allows us to faithfully serve God with all of our hearts, minds, and souls. And may we also listen to God in that still, small voice in all the busyness of life. May our lives be open to the presence of God as we go into the world, fulfilling our commitment as missionaries and as disciples. Let us also go in such a way that God has made a difference in our lives, and we are about the essence of love. Amen. I have a few stories to tell you for Father's Day. I like to do this. One person told me last time, please don't make me cry again. Well, this one's by Mary Ellen Rainier from La Trobe, Pennsylvania, and she writes, "My dad sat straight up in bed and smiled at me. Even though his mouth was crusted with fever sores, he grinned a big grin from his unshaven face. Dementia had completely taken him away from me. Or so I thought, until he spoke to me. 'Honey,' Dad almost seemed to sing the words, 'What are you doing here?' My throat muscles ached from trying to talk and not cry. Choking back my tears, I half sobbed, 'Daddy, I'm here to especially see you. I love you, you know.' 'Me too, honey,' he whispered. Then, still smiling, Daddy fell asleep." And another one. It's called "Teaming Up with a Son in Need." After Rick Hoyt sustained severe brain damage during birth and was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, doctors recommended the family give up any hope for him to be normal in any way. They were recommending institutionalization as the only way. But the Hoyts paid no mind and raised Rick like any other normal kid. Though he was restricted to the wheelchair, couldn't speak or use his arms and legs, the boy camped, swam, skied, and attended public schools, eventually going on to graduate from Boston University. 51 years after the grim diagnosis, Rick not only lives in his own apartment, but is also a celebrated athlete. How, you might ask? Well, with the help of his father, Dick. And when Rick was in middle school, he wanted to enter a charity race to raise funds for a recently paralyzed fellow student. His father, who had never run before, offered to push him in a clunky chair. That arduous race led to a lifetime of team racing, not to mention better chairs. And using a specially engineered chair, Dick and Rick have finished more than 1,900 races, including 252 triathlons, 70 marathons, and 94 half marathons. And in honor of their 31st Boston Marathon, the father and son duo was honored with a bronze statue in their likeness. The love of a father. And the last one. One evening, a little girl and her parents were sitting around the table eating supper. The little girl asked, "Daddy, you're the boss, aren't you?" Her daddy smiled, sighed, and said yes. The little girl continued, "That's because mommy put you in charge, right?" Happy Father's Day, and may it be a beautiful day.